This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of geriatric patient trauma from the trauma section on orthobullets.com. Geriatric patient trauma is defined as the management of the orthopedic problems of aging and diseases of the elderly, which is commonly defined as age greater than 65. However, defining elderly based on physiologic age or frailty may be more clinically relevant. In this episode, we will discuss some epidemiology, the etiology, clinical presentations, imaging findings, clinical studies, treatment options, and complications of treatment related to geriatric patient trauma. Regarding the epidemiology, it is important to note that geriatric patient trauma is increasing as the elderly population is growing in the U.S. In fact, our population of greater than 85 years old is the group that had the fastest growth between 2000 and 2010, with an increase of 30%. The etiology and pathophysiology of geriatric patient trauma presents unique complications due to the many musculoskeletal-related conditions of the elderly which are common, including osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, and falls. Notably, osteoporosis is responsible for 2.1 million fragility fractures annually, and falls are relatively common, with greater than 30% of persons greater than 65 years old sustaining at least one fall per year. On clinical presentation, a patient's history may be consistent with a mechanism of injury of a mechanical fall, syncopal episode, or elder abuse. Medications must also be reviewed and an accurate medication list obtained, as polypharmacy is common and anticoagulation medications are important for surgical planning. A patient's baseline status should also be reviewed to include their ambulatory status and mental status. On reviewing imaging findings, radiographs of the joint above and below the fracture site should be obtained, as patients may have other injuries or adjacent arthroplasty or implants present. Other studies to obtain include preoperative evaluation with admission by a geriatrician or hospitalist, as improved outcomes and decreased costs are seen with co-management by the geriatric or hospitalist services. In the emergency room, an EKG, chest x-ray, urinalysis, and labs should be obtained. Patients should then be optimized on the floor, with optimization including management of coagulopathy, heart failure, or sepsis. Preventative measures should also be taken on the floor to avoid overly sedating medications, anticholinergics, and to administer ulcer prophylaxis. Cardiac workup may also be performed, with the risk of major adverse cardiac events being assessed with the Revised Cardiac Risk Index, or NSQIP, risk calculator, which guides the preoperative workup and timing of operative procedures. When reviewing treatment options with geriatric patients, it is important to consider the non-operative and operative interventions may have different indications and goals in this population. Non-operative intervention may be indicated in patients with certain medical comorbidities, low-functioning patients, or fits the family's desires. And the goals of non-operative treatment should be for pain control and ease of transfers. Operative intervention may be indicated with similar indications to fractures in any other age group, with some exceptions. Acute arthroplasty may be indicated for certain fractures in the elderly population, including comminuted distal humerus fractures, proximal humerus fractures, femoral neck fractures, acetabular fractures, and intraarticular distal femur fractures. An adjunct or alternative fixation may be necessary for these cases as well, including an allograft, such as a fibular strut for a proximal humerus fracture, multiple implants, or use of locking technology. The goals of operative intervention should be for early mobilization, return to preoperative functional status, and pain control. Lastly, regarding complications in the geriatric patient population, there are important notes to make on mortality, delirium, and other medical complications. Regarding the risk of mortality, it is important to remember that in hip fractures, mortality rates in the hospital and at 1 year are 6% and 30% respectively. Notably, however, there are decreased postoperative complications, pain, length of stay, and mortality if treated within 48 hours. With regards to spinal cord injuries, there is also a higher rate of mortality compared to younger patients in the geriatric population. There is also noted to be increased mortality associated with the need for mechanical ventilation at admission, higher injury severity scores, and associated with head injury. Regarding delirium in the geriatric population, there is an incidence of 13 to 50% postoperatively in elderly orthopedic patients. The risk factors for delirium include dementia, polypharmacy, narcotics, dehydration, restraints, Foley catheters, and frequent awakenings. Notably, a preoperative fascia iliaca block has been shown to decrease overall narcotic use to minimize this risk factor. Treatment of delirium should be co-managed with the geriatric or hospitalist team and should include reorientation, minimization of narcotics, early mobilization, and the timely removal of catheters. Other medical complications to consider include pneumonia, pulmonary embolism, deep vein thrombosis, pressure ulcers, myocardial infarctions, and strokes. Again, reduction of complications can be obtained with co-management service, with orthopedic geriatric co-management of trauma patients having been demonstrated to yield decreased mortality, postoperative complications, time to surgery, and length of stay, though there are conflicting results on the length of stay. There is also noted to be improved postoperative mobility at 4 months. Now that we've gotten a general overview of this topic, let's review a few questions to see how this material has been tested in the past. Question 1. A 90-year-old patient presents after a fall down a flight of stairs and sustains a hip fracture, several rib fractures, a right pneumothorax, a grade 1 open humerus fracture, and a subdural hematoma. The patient requires intubation in the trauma bay. The trauma team assesses the injury severity score to 36. Which factor is associated with the highest risk of mortality at 1 year? Is it 1. Presence of a head injury, 2. The need for mechanical ventilation, 3. Injury severity score greater than 25, 4. Presence of a hip fracture, or 5. Presence of an open fracture? The correct answer is 2. The need for mechanical ventilation. This patient is a nonagenarian presenting with multiple injuries after trauma. The need for mechanical ventilation is associated with the highest risk of mortality at 1 year with a 78.7% risk. Geriatric patients pose different treatment challenges in the trauma setting compared to patients under the age of 65. The treatment course is complicated by many medical comorbidities, polypharmacy, lower physiologic reserve, and increased risk of medical complications. Several factors have been described as predictors of mortality and admission, including the presence of a head injury, the need for mechanical ventilation, higher injury severity scores or ISS, and treatment at a facility other than a trauma center. Of these factors, the need for mechanical ventilation has the highest association with mortality, especially at 1 year. Huibhier et al. Performed a retrospective study of mortality predictors in trauma patients greater than 90 years of age. The in-hospital mortality was significantly associated with injury severity score, cervical spine injury, and the need for mechanical ventilation, with an overall in-hospital mortality being 9.5%. At 1 year, mortality rates were increased to 78.7% if the patient required mechanical ventilation at the time of admission. The authors concluded that despite the low in-hospital mortality, these risk factors are strong predictors to 1 year from the injury. Mock et al. Performed a retrospective cohort study investigating the predictors of mortality in geriatric trauma patients. They found, through multivariate analysis, that the need for mechanical ventilation, admission lactate, and the length of mechanical ventilation were significant predictors of mortality. They stipulated that the need for mechanical ventilation is a predictor of mortality, but this finding is confounded with the withdrawal of care. Meldon et al. Performed a retrospective cohort study looking at outcomes and care settings of trauma patients over the age of 80. The authors reported a significantly higher mortality rate with treatment performed at acute care hospitals compared to level 1 and level 2 trauma centers. Additionally, mortality was associated with increased ISS and decreased Glasgow coma scores. They concluded that treatment at a trauma-verified center was a survival benefit for the geriatric trauma patients. Regarding the incorrect answers, the presence of a head injury is incorrect, as the presence of a head injury at the time of admission does increase the mortality risk at 1 year, with one study citing 51.1%. Answer 3 is incorrect, as an injury severity score greater than 25 has been associated with an increased mortality at 1 year, but several studies have linked the need for mechanical ventilation to greater mortality risk. One study did report a 73.2% mortality risk at 1 year in patients with an ISS greater than 25. Answer 4 is incorrect, as the effect of a hip fracture in geriatric trauma patient mortality has not been characterized, but 1 year mortality risk is approximately 30%. And lastly, answer 5 is incorrect, as the mortality risk of an open fracture in a geriatric trauma patient has been seldom studied, but some authors report risks similar to geriatric hip fractures. Next question. An 85-year-old woman is found to have an isolated left hip fracture after a fall from standing. All of the following have been demonstrated to be a benefit from an orthopedic geriatric co-management service, except 1. Decreased time to surgery, 2. Decreased postoperative mortality, 3. Decreased postoperative complication rate, 4. Decreased need for postoperative discharge rehab facility, or 5. Increased postoperative mobility. The correct answer is 4. Decreased need for post-discharge rehab facility. All of the answers listed have been demonstrated to be a benefit of orthopedic geriatric co-management service except for decreased need for post-discharge rehab facility. Many institutions have initiated an orthopedic geriatric co-management inpatient service, particularly for orthopedic trauma patients. Such service assists with perioperative medical management, focusing especially on preoperative optimization, postoperative management of comorbidities, prevention of delirium, and management of dementia. Several studies have demonstrated improved postoperative complication and mortality rates, though conflicting evidence exists. Fisher et al. Analyzed a prospective group of 951 patients older than 60 years of age with hip fractures managed on a co-management service, comparing them to a historical control group. They report a reduction in postoperative medical complications of 50% versus 71%, decreased mortality of 4.7% versus 7.7%, and decreased readmission rates to a medical service. They did not find a change in the length of stay or post-discharge disposition. They conclude that combined orthopedic and geriatric care of elderly patients with hip fractures leads to decreased morbidity and mortality while improving postoperative care. Friedman et al. Analyzed a geriatric fracture center with patients 60 years of age or older with hip fractures and report a shorter time to surgery of 24 hours compared to 37 hours, a shorter length of stay of 4.6 versus 8.3 days, fewer postoperative infections of 2% compared to 20%, fewer complications overall of 31% compared to 46%, and lower use of physical restraints of 0% compared to 14%. They conclude that co-management of elderly patients with hip fractures leads to improved processes and outcomes. Prestmo et al. Conducted a randomized control trial of usual care versus orthogeriatric co-management for home-dwelling patients older than 70 years of age with hip fractures. They found that geriatric co-management patients were significantly more mobile at 4 months following surgery. They concluded that the treatment of geriatric patients with hip fractures should be coordinated through orthogeriatric care. Regarding the incorrect answers, answers 1, 2, 3, and 5 are all incorrect, as decreased time to surgery, postoperative mortality, complication rates, and improved postoperative mobility have all been shown in the literature to be benefits of an orthogeriatric co-management service. Last question. An 86-year-old female sustains a right femoral neck fracture. On admission, she is diagnosed with acute on chronic heart failure. She is subsequently admitted to the medicine service. While waiting for optimization of her medical comorbidities prior to surgery, which intervention can reduce the patient's overall narcotic use? Is it 1. A fascia iliaca block, 2. Patient-controlled analgesia machine, or PCA, 3. Distal femoral skeletal traction, 4. Pain service consult, or 5. Prophylactic haloperidol treatment. The correct answer is 1. A fascia iliaca block. In patients with a hip fracture, a preoperative fascia iliaca block has been shown to decrease overall narcotic use. Hip fractures are the most common non-vertebral fractures in patients over the age of 65 and represent a significant source of morbidity and mortality. These fractures are inherently painful, but the use of narcotics in this vulnerable patient population has significant risk factors, including increased risk of falls, delirium, constipation, and respiratory depression. The use of non-opioid pain management strategies, including blocks, can reduce the risks associated with narcotic pain medications. Kendall Couteau et al. Assessed the efficacy of a preoperative fascia iliaca block in 30 elderly patients with hip fractures using an objective sitting score, assessing the degree of passive hip flexion, and through the visual analog scale. At 1 hour following the block, there was a significant improvement in all three measured outcomes. The authors concluded that a fascia iliaca block can provide significant benefit and allow patients to sit more comfortably while awaiting surgery. Kalir et al. Performed a prospective study of 82 patients over the age of 65 with a hip fracture to evaluate the efficacy of a preoperative fascia iliaca block. They found that patients who received a preoperative block received significantly less postoperative and total opioids, had significantly less delirium, and had shorter inpatient stays compared to patients who did not receive a fascia iliaca block. The author's work demonstrating the efficacy of the block led to the introduction of a new hip fracture care pathway which incorporated preoperative fascia iliaca blocks. Regarding the incorrect answers, answers 2, 3, and 5, a PCA, distal femoral skeletal traction, or prophylactic haloperidol treatment are all incorrect, as none of these interventions have been shown to decrease overall narcotic use in geriatric patients with hip fractures. Answer 4, a pain service consult, is incorrect, as while a pain service consult may potentially lead to a fascia iliaca block, pain service consults by themselves have not been shown to lead to decreased overall narcotic use in this patient population. That's all for this review on geriatric patient trauma. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or the mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you are not already, please be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.